Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tefillah Perek Hey. This perek, like the last one, is a detailed list of important ingredients of tefillah. The difference between this list and the one in Perek Dalid is that the five items in that perek are ma'akev tefillah. They disqualify the Amidah in their absence, while the eight ingredients in this perek are required l'chatchila, but are not ma'akev. The Amidah is valid even without them. This perek is an excellent example of the Rambam's organizational abilities that we discussed in our introductory shiurim. Though all eight items listed in this perek appear in some form throughout Masechet Brachot, they don't appear together, nor does the Gemara draw any connection between them. And many of the details in this perek come from other places in Shas. The Rambam identified the connecting theme of features of tefillah which are desirable, even if not absolutely necessary, and he collected all the details of these halachot in one place. As we did in the last perek, we'll explain each one as we get to its details in the perek. Halacha Aleph. Shmona dvarim tzarich hamitpalel lihizaher behen velasotan. Vim haya dachuk o ne'nas o sha'avar velo asa otan, einan ma'akvin. Ve'elohen, amida, ונוכח המקדש, ותיקון הגוף, ותיקון המלבוש, ותיקון המקום, והשוויית הכל, והקריאה, וההשתחוויה. עמידה כיצד, אין מפעלין אלא מעומד, היה יושב בספינה, או בעגלה, אם יכול לעמוד, יעמוד, ואם לאו, ישב במקומו ויתפלל. חולה מתפלל אפילו שוכב על צידו, והוא שיכול לכוון את דעתו. וכן הצמא והרעב, הרי הן מכלל חולין. אם יש בו יכולת לכוון את דעתו, יתפלל, ואם לאו, אל יתפלל עד שיאכל וישתה. היה רכוב על הבהמה, אף על פי שיש לו מי שיאחז בהמתו, לא ירד, אלא יושב במקומו ומתפלל, כדי שתהא דעתו מיושבת עליו.
The first item on the list is standing. Despite the name Amidah, standing is preferable during tefillah, but not required when it is very difficult to do so. The Rambam gives the example of someone on a boat or on a wagon, which shakes as it moves, so that standing is very difficult. In our day, we can add the example of an airplane, where the cramped space and frequent instruction to sit and fasten seatbelts make it impractical in general to stand for the duration of the Amidah. One who is sick can daven even while lying on his side in bed, as long as he is capable of having proper kavanah. Recall from Hilchot Kriyat Shema that lying on the front or back is considered an inappropriate position for Kriyat Shema, and the same is true for tefillah. Even one riding on an animal can say his tefillah while riding, if pausing for the duration of tefillah would cause a delay which would distract him. The Shulchan Aruch clarifies that even leaning on an object like a wall, chair, or shtender is not considered standing if he is leaning hard enough that he would fall down if the object were removed.
Halacha Gimel. Nochach HaMikdash Ketzad Haya Omeid Bechutz La'aretz Machzir Panav Nochach Eretz Yisrael Umipalel Haya Omeid Ba'aretz Mechavein Panav Keneged Yerushalayim Haya Omeid Yerushalayim Mechavein Panav Keneged HaMikdash Haya omeid ba-mikdash, mechavein panav keneged beit kodesh ha-kodashim. Suma, umi sheino yachol lechavein et haruchot, v'hamalech b'sfina, yechavein libo keneged ha-shchina v'yitpalel.
The second feature of tefillah on this list is that one must face the Beit HaMikdash during the Amidah. For someone outside Israel, this means facing the land of Israel, which is east for those in the United States or Europe. Within Israel, one faces Yerushalayim. Within Yerushalayim, one faces the Mikdash. And within the Mikdash, one faces the Kodesh HaKodashim. If someone is blind or has no way to determine the directions from where he is standing, he faces any which way but directs his heart to the Mikdash, meaning, as the Rambam explains in his Perush HaMishnayot, that he must imagine himself standing in front of the Kodesh HaKodashim and speaking directly to the Shekhinah. The Shulchan Aruch and later Poskim add that if someone needs to face a different direction, like if he is davening while traveling, then he should at least turn his head in the direction of Nochach HaMikdash whenever possible.
Halacha Dalet, Tikun haguf keitzad. Keshu omeid batfila, tzirich lechaven et raglav zo bitzad zo, venotein einav lemata kiilu hu mabit laaretz, vieli bo panui lemala kiilu hu omeid bashamayim, umaniach yadav al libo kfutin, haymanit al hasmalit, vomeid keeved lifnei rabo beima vira vafachad, velo yaniach yadav al chalatzav.
The third item on the list of this perek is tikkun haguf, correct physical comportment. A person should say the Amidah with his feet together, eyes facing downward. The poskim recommend that the eyes be either closed or looking into a sidur to avoid distraction, and hands clasped one on top of the other on his chest in the manner of a servant standing in fear before his master. One should not place his hands on his hips, as this is considered a haughty position. The Rambam adds a somewhat cryptic line from the Gemara in Yevamot, that even as the eyes of the Mipalel face downward, his heart should face upward toward Hashem. This seems to mean, as we saw earlier regarding directing his heart toward the Mikdash, that the person needs to envision himself standing directly before God. Halacha hei, tikkun ha-malbush keitzad, mitaken malbushav tchila, u-mitzayen atzmo u-mehader, shenemar hishtachavu la-Hashem b'adrat kodesh. V'lo yamod l'tfila be'afundato, v'lo b'rosh megule, v'lo b'raglai megulot, im derech anshei ha-makom, shelo yamdu lifnei gedolim, ela b'beit ha-raglayim. U'v'chol makom lo yochaz tfilin biado, o sefer Torah bizro'o, mipnei shelibo tarud behem, v'lo yochaz ma'ot v'chilim biado, aval mipalel hu b'lulav biado b'mot ha-chag, mipnei shehi mitzvat hayom. Item number four is tikkun ha-malbushim, dressing in an appropriate manner. We learned in the last perek that one must cover his chest, and here the Rambam clarifies that it should be with a proper covering and not only his afunda, an undershirt meant to absorb sweat. His head must be covered, as must his legs, if it is the general custom, as it is nowadays, not to appear in front of a king or an important officer in shorts. Note that the Rambam requires head covering only for tefillah, and even then the tefillah is valid without it. As we saw much earlier in Hilchot Deot, Perek Hey, the kippah, which is ubiquitous nowadays among observant Jews, is for the Rambam not at all mandatory, but a symbol of exceptional humility, appropriate for a Talmid Chacham, and here during tefillah. One also cannot hold something in his hand during tefillah which may distract him, like tefillin, a sefer Torah, or money. The only object the Rambam allows one to hold during tefillah is the Arba Taminim on Sukkot, following the custom of the Anshei Yerushalayim, mentioned in the Gemara, who would carry these around constantly during Sukkot. The Shulchan Aruch, in whose time there already existed printed Sidurim, allows one to hold a Sidur while saying the Amidah. In modern times, it goes without saying that someone davening from his cell phone should deactivate all methods of receiving calls, messages, and other notifications, as these are far more distracting than holding tefillin or money, which the Rambam forbids. At the end of the halakha, the Rambam adds that someone carrying a load must put it down before starting the Amidah, unless it is relatively light, in which case he can continue to carry it on his back, not on his head or in front of him, where it will distract him. Halakha Vav. Tikkun ha-makom keitzad. Ya'amod b'makom namuch, v'yachzir panav lakotel, v'tzarich liftoch chalonot o petachim, keneged Yerushalayim, kedei lipalel kenegdan, shne'amar, וחבין פתיחן לי בעיליתי נגד ירושלם, וקובע מקום לתפילתו תמיד, ואין מפעלין לא בחורבה ולא לאחורי בית הכנסת, אלא אם כן החזיר פניו לבית הכנסת, ואסור לשב בצד העומד בתפילה, או לעבור לפניו עד שירחיק ממנו ארבע אמות. The fifth component of תפילה in this perek is תיקון המקום, saying the Amidah in the right type of place. This includes several different details, which the Rambam lists here and in the next two halachot, and we'll summarize most of them now. One should daven in a low place, based on the pasuk of Mimamakim Praticha Hashem, and not in a place which stands out above its immediate surroundings. In Halacha Zayin, the Rambam clarifies that it is permitted to daven in a high floor of a building or any other elevated location if it is either 4 by 4 amot in size, about 4 square meters or 36 square feet, or if it is surrounded by walls, in which case its elevation above its surroundings is not noticeable to a person standing inside it. The Migdal Oz points out that this is why the Shliach Tzibur can say his tefillah on the bima, an elevated area, as it is cordoned off and considered a distinct location from the rest of the shul. Another aspect of tikkun hamakom is that one should daven directly opposite a wall, ideally one with windows open in the direction of Jerusalem, which, the Rambam explains in the Tshuva, is meant to avoid distraction. This is obviously difficult to do in a shul, where people sit in parallel rows, one behind the other, but is made easier by the psakim of the Shulchan Aruch that both furniture and people aren't considered a barrier between the mipalel and the wall. In any event, poskim are in agreement that the advantages of tefillah b'tzibur and in a Beit Knesset, which we'll explore later in Hilchot Tefillah, heavily outweigh the preference of standing opposite a wall. The Rambam also says here that one should have a makom kavua, a place where he davens regularly, as it helps to maintain focus when one always engages in tefillah in the same location. The source of this is Avram Avinu, who, the pasuk in Parshat Vayera says, called out to Hashem in the same place he had done so the previous day. One should not sit down within four amot of someone who is in the middle of the Amidah, out of respect for his tefillah, though poskim allow this if the one sitting is himself engaged in learning or some other part of the tefillah. And one should be careful not to walk within four amot in front of someone in the middle of the Amidah, as this may distract him. The Shulchan Aruch rules, based on this, that one should avoid taking three steps back at the end of the Amidah if someone else is still saying the Amidah within four amot behind him. Rather, he should wait until the person behind him finishes. In Halacha Chet, the Rambam mentions an important halacha about workers who say the Amidah during the workday. If they work in an elevated place from which it takes a long time to descend, like an olive tree or a fig tree, then they should say the Amidah where they work, in order to avoid taking excessive time off from work at the expense of their employer. And any worker who gets paid per hour should, for the same reason, only say the shortened Amidah of Vahavinenu that we saw in Perek Bet. Halacha Tet. Hashvayata kol keitzad, lo yagbia kolo bitfilato, velo yipalel bilibo, ela mechatei chadvarim bisvatav, umashmia leozno belachash, velo yashmia kolo, ela imkein hayachole, o sheino yachol chaven et libo ad shiashmia kolo, harei ze mutar, uvilvad shlo yeh batzibur, kedei shlo titareif datan mikolo. The sixth item on the list of this perek is hashvayata kol, saying the tefillah in the proper voice. The Rambam clarifies that a person must say the Amidah and not just think it in his mind. And he should say it loud enough to hear himself, but not loud enough to disturb others around him. Many Acharonim felt that this concern that people will be disturbed by hearing someone else's tefillah was only relevant in the days before printed Sidurim, when people had to daven from memory. But the conclusion of poskim like the Magen Avram is that even today, one should be careful to say the tefillah quietly enough so that others don't hear it. If someone is davening alone and is unable to concentrate properly unless he raises his voice, then this is okay, because there is no one else around who may be disturbed. Halacha Yud. Kriya Keitzad, Amipalel Korea Chamesh Kriyot B'chol Tfila U'Tfila, B'Vracha Rishona B'Tchila U'Vasof, V'Hodaya B'Tchila U'Vasof, V'Cheshegomer HaTfila Korea, U'Foseh Shalosh P'siot La'Acharav Kishu Korea, V'Noten Shalom Mismol Atzmo V'Achar Kach Mimin Atzmo, ואחר כך מגביה ראשו מן הקריאה, וכשהוא קורא בארבע הקריאות, קורא בברוך, וכשהוא זוקף, זוקף בשם. The seventh property of tefillah discussed in this perek is kriya, bowing down at the appropriate points in the Amidah. The Rambam counts five times. The first four are at the start and end of the first bracha of Avot, and the start and end of the second to last bracha of Thanksgiving, which begins with Modim Anachnu Lach, and ends with Hatov Shimcha Ulchana Elohodot. In each of these, he bows while saying Baruch, or Modim in the third case, and rises when saying Hashem's name in the continuation of the bracha. The fifth kriya is at the end of the Amidah, just before and while taking three steps backward. As the Rambam clarifies in Halacha Yod Aleph, this fifth kriya is meant to be a respectful manner of taking leave of the divine presence, as one would take leave of a king. And therefore, after taking three steps back, he bends to his left, which is the right of the Shechina facing him, and then to his right, as was typically done when leaving the presence of a king. In Halach Yud Bet, the Rambam adds that each of these kriyot should ideally be done until all the vertebrae in the spine stick out of the back, but if it pains him to bow down that far, then even less is acceptable. Halacha Yud Gimel. Hishtachavaya keitzad, achar shemagbia rosho mikriya chamishit, yoshev la'aretz v'nofel al panav arza, umitchanein b'chol tachanonim sheyirtze. The eighth and last of the requirements of tefillah in this perek is called Hishtachavaya, which we know by the more familiar term of tachanun. We generally think of this as something distinct from the Amidah, but actually this is a kind of postscript to the Amidah, and so it is important not to speak or otherwise interrupt between the Amidah and tachanun. Recall that the original form of tefillah, before the time of Ezra, was entirely free form, with no fixed text. Post-Ezra, the core of tefillah has a fixed form, but the Rambam describes tachanun as a vestige of the original, flexible type of tefillah. mitchanein bechol tachanunim shiyirtzeh. Nowadays, of course, even this has the fixed text of Vayomer David El Gad and the longer version on Mondays and Thursdays with several added paragraphs, starting with Vuhurachum. The Rambam says here that Tachanun should be said while a person is nofel al panav, meaning lying completely on the ground in the act of Ishtachava'ah that we saw in Hilchot Avodah Zarah. And as we saw there, this is forbidden to do on a stone floor because of the Isur of Evan Maskit. But in Halach Yodalid, the Rambam clarifies that some don't go that far, but rather do kida, kneeling down and placing the head on the ground. Our custom is to do neither, but just to lean the head on one's arm. The Rambam ends with a list of days on which we don't say Tachanun. Halacha Tedvav. Minhag Pashut b'chol Yisrael, she'ein nefilat panim b'shabbatot uv'moadot. V'lo b'rosh Hashanah, v'lo b'rashei Chodashim, uva Chanukah uva Purim, v'lo b'mincha shel arei Shabbatot v'yamim tovim, v'lo b'arvit shebechol yom, v'yesh yechidim shnoflin al pneihem b'arvit, uv'yom ha-kippurim bilvad noflin al pneihem b'chol tfila u'tfila, mipnei shu yom tchina uva kasha v'ta'anit. The Rambam has a relatively short list, including Shabbat and holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah and Purim, and Mincha on Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov. The Shulchan Aruch and Ramah add many more days, including Tu Bishvat, Lag BaOmer, all of Chodesh Nisan, and the days between Yom Kippur and the end of Tishrei, among others, as well as the Mincha preceding most of these days. Tachanun is also skipped in a Shiva home, in the presence of a Chatan during his Sheva Brachot, and in the presence of someone involved in a Brit Milah that day, or in the location of the Brit Milah. Nighttime is considered a time of din rather than rachamim, and therefore we don't say tachanun at night, except as part of slichot when it is said in the second half of the night. The Rambam adds that we say tachanun after every tefillah of Yom Kippur, because this is a day devoted entirely to calling out to God. But the custom nowadays is not to say tachanun at all on Yom Kippur, nor to bow down on the ground, except for the four times when this is done during the chazarat hashatz of Musaf. In summary, the eight properties of tefillah listed in this perek are Amida, standing, Nochach HaMikdash, facing the Beit HaMikdash, Tikkun HaGuf, comporting his body in the proper manner, Tikkun HaMabushim, dressing the proper manner, Tikkun HaMakom, saying tefillah in an ideal location, Hashvayat HaKol, speaking in the proper voice, Kriya, bowing down at the five proper times, and Hishtachavaya, saying Tachanun after the end of the Amida. In the next parak, the Rambam will add several more points about what a person may not do during tefillah or before tefillah, before moving on in the parak after that to the other parts of the extended tefillah service beyond the Amidah and Kriyat Shema.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.